Okay, verse 88. Who holds in their hands the seeds of every joy? Those with vast stores of goodness or merit, the source of everything sublime. Okay, so who holds in their hands the seeds of every joy? Those with vast stores of goodness, the source of everything sublime. So vast stores of goodness refers to the collection of merit. Okay, on the Bodhisattva path, we talk of the collection of merit and the collection of wisdom. Okay, and so collection of merit basically means good karma. And so that is what leads to the form body of a Buddha. And the collection of wisdom is what leads to the truth body of the Buddha. So we need both of those collections in an integrated way. They say that only a bodhisattva has the actual two collections. Yeah, that even somebody on the hearer or solitary realizer path, they create merit, they create wisdom, but to be the collection of merit or the collection of wisdom, it has to be done with the bodhicitta motivation. So that's a very important distinguishing factor. Okay, just in our lives in general, no matter what vehicle you practice here, solitary realizer or bodhisattva vehicle, merit is really important. And so that's why in the Tibetan tradition we have the nundro or preliminary practices that are specifically for purification and creation of merit. Purification is like getting rid of the garbage in the mind, yeah, the negative karma. And creation of merit is like putting fertilizer in and enriching the mind. And it's very important to do these two practices. If you look at what we usually do as our daily practice, both of these are included. For example, in the seven limb prayer. Yeah, you have seven different branches, and some are more on the side of creating merit, some are more on the side of purification. They both do both, okay, they all do both. But, you know, we have this in our daily practice a lot, and so you have that, you know, just regularly in whatever recitations you do before a meditation session or during a meditation session. And then you also have the special practices, like the 35 Buddhas, okay, Guru Yoga, Vajrasattva, water bowls, let's see, Dorji Kadro, Samaya Vajra, mandala offerings. I think I said prostrations. What? And satsas. Okay, making the images of the Buddha. Okay, so you have those. So that's the complete eight set of eight. I think there should be nine. What am I missing? Huh? Yeah, there's nine. Oh, yes, refuge, yeah. Okay, so that's a complete set of nine. Some traditions emphasize four, some emphasize five, you know, which are taken out of those nine, and then some, your teachers want you to do all nine of them. I think it's very important for us to do these practices, you know, in the sense of doing 100,000 of them, because they really are a focused effort of purification, and that focused effort makes you, for example, when you're emphasizing 35 Buddhas or Vajrasattva, it really makes you look deeply into the negative karmas you've created and really do a life review and understand karma better and go into it. And so it's very helpful for that when you do it in a focused way. Similarly, when you do the 100,000, you know, again, that's adding focus and quantity to it. So it's really making you think about, well, how do I create goodness? How do I create merit? What is merit? How do I, you know, behave and act in a way that is virtuous in the world? Okay, so it really helps, you know, on many different levels to do those, you know, the 100,000. Also, I think, and I say this more from a feeling of my own personal experience, that when you do these practices, they really do eliminate hindrances, and they really do make it so that even in this life, you have better conditions to practice in. You know, if I just look in my own life, because my teachers had me do these practices. I've done 8 of the 9. And, you know, and I can see just in my ability to practice both mentally and in terms of, you know, having the material things I need to practice, that's really changed from the early days until now. And I attribute that to the, you know, through changing the karma, through doing purification and creation of merit. And so, you know, it just makes it much easier to practice when you have fewer hindrances. Of course, transforming your hindrances into practice is the whole thing of thought training. But if you can avoid the hindrances to start with, it also is nice. Yeah. And so these practices are very, very good in doing that. And they also change your mind, you know. They change your mind. They make you think, you know, I'm doing this 100,000 times. Why in the world am I doing this practice? And why 100,000 times? You know, it's 100,000 opportunities to do it once with kind of concentration and a bodhicitta motivation like that. Yeah. Because so often our mind is just totally distracted. But, you know, it's a good opportunity to really, you know, think about this and to be able to focus our mind on what our mouth is saying so that, you know, saying things isn't just blah, 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 but you're really thinking about what you're saying and meditating on it while you're saying it. So it trains the mind to do that as well, you know. And then, you know, makes you think also about the qualities of the Buddha, makes you understand and question more about karma. Like I said before, looking at our own lives and seeing what we have to purify and what we have to avoid in the future. So very helpful for all these kinds of things. Okay. And then when we do, it becomes, what is it? The supreme possession, which brings its, no, who holds in his hands the, when you do that, then you hold in your hands the seeds of every joy. Because merit, good karma, is the source of happiness. Yeah. So it's important to remember that, you know, when we go through difficulties and our mind is unhappy, to remember, oh, this is a result of my negative karma that I haven't purified and my lack of virtue. Yeah, so what have I been doing that I haven't purified and I haven't created virtue? I've been reading comic books. You know, I've been whatever it is we've been doing. Yeah. Yeah. So, what?
Looking around for the pill.
Oh, look! Yes, looking for the pills that are going to change our mind. Yeah, you know. So it's very helpful to remind us to practice, and that's. I mean, they say with bodhisattvas, yeah, that when they practice, let's say giving their body or, you know, doing all sorts of bodhisattva deeds that are very difficult, they don't suffer physically because of their merit, and they don't suffer mentally because of their wisdom. Yeah, so there's a clear example of how creation of merit and purification, you know, and the two collections of merit and wisdom eliminate obstacles and speed your ability to create more merit and create more wisdom. Yeah, and enable you to really get into the bodhisattva practices without, you know, experiencing great suffering, even though you're totally willing to experience great suffering. Yeah? Whereas those of us who aren't willing to experience great suffering don't even do the practices that create so much merit and so much purification. Yeah? Okay. So when we do these practices of purification, creation, and merit, if we visualize all sentient beings doing them with us, like we do when we do the recitations at the beginning of the Easy Path teachings, yeah? So what effect does it have on us, and what effect does it have on others? It affects us a lot because we realize that, you know, gee, my practice isn't all about me. You know, which is one of the big things we have to overcome is, you know, what's good for my Dharma practice, what I want to practice, what I need these conditions, I don't need those conditions. So it gets us over that thing of, you know, oh, my practice is really for all sentient beings. And it helps us to feel connected to all sentient beings and to have a much clearer motivation of compassion for everybody. And really that thing of including everybody transforms our minds a great deal, because sometimes we may be angry at somebody and we just give up on them. Oh, this person is like, you know, they're a terrorist, just forget them. But, you know, they're Ted Cruz or whoever it is, you know. But you put them beside you and they're bowing to the Buddha, and then you have to say, oh, these people have the opportunity to change, you know. And they have the Buddha nature. They're not some kind of concrete, you know, flat, one-dimensional person that I've constructed out of one, you know, action that they've done. But they're a whole, full being. So it really changes our perspective on sentient beings. And I think, you know, how does it influence others? I think in a way it sends out, you know, a lot of good energy from us. I mean, when we dedicate the merit for the benefits of others, we're sending out some good energy that, you know, can hopefully benefit others. Yeah? But you know, do it yourself. Do a session where you just imagine yourself, then do a session where you imagine leading others and you're all doing the same thing. And then see what the difference is yourself, the difference in your feeling. Yeah?